Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about the modern perception of pedophiles and how that perception is projected solely onto the male sex and why that view goes unchallenged and the damage this projection causes for men, children and society. What is pedophilia? What constitutes child abuse? What constitutes rape? In today's society, that definition is constantly broadening. I mean, if we were to imagine a pedophile, the image that springs to mind is that of a middle-aged white male in a trench coat. If pedophilia was a brand name, it would be giving Nike a run for its money. Now, nothing provokes more anger and panic than a pedophile. Now, one moves into the neighborhood, and all reason goes out the window, and any punishment is deemed preventative. I mean, we've all seen mild-mannered people turn vengeful in an instant, over a morning coffee, advocating extreme violence when discussing child molesters. Now, the lid comes off, and gives us a rare glimpse to what's just beneath the surface. And the media, I mean, they influence this, they drive this. And so in turn, our fear and paranoia increases. And we internalize the message, no different than a victim of abuse does. And repeated often enough, this propaganda will become our belief system and our internal dialogue. And these messages, they drive our actions and our thought processes. And if these thoughts and beliefs are the consensus and shared openly with our fear of censorship, then everyone is suddenly an expert on something they know nothing about. Now, a wall goes up, and there is no searching for further truth. There's no willingness to understand. All there is fear, misinformation, and misdirected rage, which is really just a pervading sense of powerlessness. I mean, if you listen to the media, there's an evil male pedophile on every street corner. But children now, they're no more at risk than previously. But we're just more aware of it now via the media. We just assume that there's an epidemic of child rape. That there are monsters roaming the countryside in the shapes of men. So what happens? And society then excludes and rejects these men. Now, stigmatizing all males and male sexuality in the process. And this climate of fear, it makes it so that any man that questions this solution or any issue related to the sexual abuse of children, he's then seen as guilty by association. And this emotional response by people, it prevents any further rational discussion. And this induced panic. It drives an irrational fear, but it doesn't address the real dangers facing children, within the home and in supervised environments, where the abuse is far more prevalent. Now people start to see signs of pedophilia everywhere, and they pressure the government to act. But people, they need to be informed of the truth. Sexual abuse occurs mostly in the home, and in environments where the children are supervised. And that sexual abuse of boys by adult females is widespread. Women, they can operate in settings that men have been excluded from. And the abuse, it can be subtle. And if a male questions this, then the spotlight of doubt is put on him for even suggesting that women are capable of it. Your males, they must be grateful for being abused. And they must see woman as above reproach, or he must be a sex offender, or not a real man. Men, we've been edged out of children's lives. At a time when men desperately need to get back into children's lives and guide them. Female teachers who sexually abuse boys, they've received some attention in recent years, but here again, I mean, it's portrayed as mutual, rather than as grooming or abusive. But going by the statistics, only a small percentage of female child molesters are teachers. A large number of them are their nannies, they're working in special needs, or in child-minding roles. It's just harder in schools to conceal this type of behaviour. I mean, really, put it into perspective. In a society that condones and encourages this abuse from women, really, I mean, how many female pedophiles are out there? In reality, it's actually boys who are at greater risk outside the home. And they're also just as likely to be abused by either sex, so this belief that only males are perpetrators, it only makes it easier for females to abuse boys and destroy lives. Either through direct abuse or via false allegations. And from what I know of, for boys who end up in foster homes, it's even worse. I mean, who wants a boy as a foster child? Not in today's climate. Yet males are unwanted. And these boys are treated as a problem. And they don't even understand why. And the rates of abuse that they suffer is far higher. After all, they're less than human. But the fact is, for all our stamping of our feet, about the welfare of kids, we actually only care about the welfare of women. By ignoring and deflecting the sexual abuse of boys, we aid and abet those who prey on our children. We enable them. And we're abusers by association. And the dismissal of a boy's suffering, the stigma we place on him, it could be argued that this is an even more damaging form of abuse. But I mean, when it comes to the issue of treatment, treatment of pedophiles, it's the same culprit time and time again. Testosterone. Chemical castration is the suppression of testosterone. And without test, I mean, men would surely be more empathetic, would they not? I mean, they could finally get in touch with their feminine side. Of course, this and other forms of therapy for pedophiles, they're proven to be largely ineffective. And it outright discounts the abuses perpetrated by females on boys. I mean, female pedophiles, if they're seen as God's gift to boys, and they're applauded as being sexually assertive and empowered, why would they alter their behaviour? I mean, male sexuality is deviant. Female sexuality is loving, it's motherly. But what if abuse by females is more harmful? What would it mean? Do we have any way to measure it? All we have is deflection and ridicule. Males, they have to like it. Or they face exclusion and stigma. And they're seen as not being a real man. Or they risk being branded as a homosexual. And other men will minimize and laugh off any potential damage a female inflicts on a boy as a rite of passage. Their masculine identity depends on it. And women, they'll deflect the severity of these crimes by other females. Due to them standing up for the collective of women, first and foremost. Women before men, every time. And the stigma and this deflection. The boy ends up blaming himself for the abuse. What other recourse does he have? And this in turn will affect every relationship he has in life. And this coping strategy, or lack thereof, it determines the long-term effects of childhood sexual abuse. The responsibility is placed solely on the shoulders of the boy, where in reality, it's spread across many levels. His family environment, his relationship to the abuser, society's perception. Now this shapes how he'll define whether what he experienced was abuse or a gift. Now factor in the duration, the frequency of the abuse, whether coercion was used, if support and therapy was provided, and whether that therapy was conducive to healing or just inflicted more harm. I mean, all of this, it feeds into how a boy copes after the fact. And what you have is a boy who can't, you know, and doesn't know how to trust. And there's no primary attachment to any adult caregiver due to this betrayal. And he can't self-regulate emotion. And he has all the shame and the stigma that goes with it. And as with adult rape, you know, the definition of pedophilia, it seems to change from case to case. And there's no consensus about the number of false accusations. I mean, there's no regard to the effect that these accusations have on men. And, I mean, these evaluations by court-appointed psychologists, they're often very subjective. And in truth, I mean, they're driven by the same pressure and the panic that we experience. Now, problem being that every child who makes an accusation is believed, without question. And there's no consideration given to whether that child was coerced. And I mean, children are susceptible to suggestion, there's no question of that. And what's never discussed is that the accusations can be made due to the child's own sexual fantasies. Now, pre-adolescent and adolescent girls projecting their own sexual desires onto their father. And this is a very common projection by females, and it's something that's never examined. Now, the sexuality of children is so taboo that no one, even in the psychiatric community, will even broach the topic. And a child, I mean, they can make an accusation to punish a parent. And in today's age of entitlement and political correctness, you can believe it's a common reaction. Men, I mean, they suffer in a number of ways from false allegations. I mean, they lose their job, their home, their assets. They can face bankruptcy. I mean, they're ripped from the home. And the children, they can also be evicted. They can end up in foster care, you know, cut off from family, cut off from friends. And really, in truth, as a man, who can you tell if you've been accused of child molestation? Who can you tell? I mean, men, they only receive judgment and isolation. And this is what you will face if you are accused. And this is how fast your life can be destroyed. And if you think you're impervious, you're not. And if you think you can change public perception, or the perception of friends and family, you can't. Yet once an accusation is made, your life as you know it is effectively over. There is no negotiation, there is no way out. You know, not in today's climate of misandry and fear. And if you think otherwise, you are living in denial. And in these cases, I mean, a therapist, they wield a very heavy hammer. And they say whether that man is approved safe to re-enter society or the home. And this approval, it relies on the falsely accused admitting that he committed the offence. And if he denies he abused a child, then the therapist can say no. Now, just imagine for a moment what that feels like. Now, that sense of powerlessness and all the associated effects on your mental and physical health stemming from that. Now, the rage, the depression, the fear. Now, alongside the isolation and the alienation, I mean, how do you come back from that level of betrayal? Now, I'm going by the statistics. Now, false allegations of child abuse, they make up the vast majority of police reports. And no one seems to have a clear definition today of what constitutes child abuse. Now, not the police, or the mental health professionals. I mean, the courts certainly don't. So, of course, as a result, allegations of child abuse, they're going to be more likely. Now, in case studies, I mean, they show that there's a motive behind most false allegations. I mean, custody disputes being the major factor. But instead of looking out for the welfare of children, the system is being used to hurt men and children and to manipulate for personal advantage. And any male that has been abused, he has a question mark over him. The perception being, he will go on to offend and abuse. The message for males, it's very clear. Never admit you were abused. And of course, this message extends to every area of life for every man. You know, whether it be healthcare funding or workplace safety, what have you. Message being, don't speak up. Suffer in silence. Keep the cogs greased. You know, you're a utility, nothing more. I mean, it goes without saying, but you know, still, men keep making this mistake. If you are accused of rape, or if you're accused of child abuse, do not speak to the police without a lawyer present. Do not play into their hands. They don't seek the truth, they seek a confession. I mean, there's going to be enough falsities being made against you already. Don't pour gasoline on the fire. And if accused, I mean, the police, they don't have to discuss the issue with you ever again. I mean, you could quite literally spend the rest of your life waiting for that knock on the door. I mean, those women who make false accusations against men and then have the audacity to tell him to get on with his life. I mean, how? Now, allegations of sexual abuse against children, they have one of the highest conviction rates, and no evidence is needed. I mean, all there is an accusation, and that's enough to convict. Now, an innocent man, he'll fight to clear his name. But here again, he plays right into the hands of the system. He can be left bankrupt, and he can suffer all the abuses of prison. Yeah, and on release, he'll have to register as a sex offender. And that information in today's technology is readily accessible. And it isn't just this one man who suffers. I mean, his children, his family. In society, I mean, they're robbed of another father, another son. But I guess when you're not held accountable for the damage that a false allegation causes, and men on the whole are viewed as less than human, then why would you consider the consequences for a man? Now, if a woman or a child makes an accusation, now, the common belief is that there must be a grain of truth to it. Why would they lie? Because, after all, men are raping women and children at epidemic levels, aren't they? I mean, to even assume that a woman would make such an accusation or use a child to these ends so callously or sexually abuse a child, I mean, it flies in the face of everything we believe about female nature. Yet, with how men are demonized in society, you know, and the lack of repercussions for women, and what women stand to gain from destroying a man, why wouldn't she do it? Now, even if the man is acquitted, the perception is still he must have done it. After all, why would she lie? And a falsely accused man, now going before the parole board, I mean, in order for him to be considered for a reduced sentence, now, there must be an acknowledgement of guilt on his part. But this acknowledgement, I mean, it eliminates any possibility of overturning a conviction. But it's all he can do if he wants out. And reintegrating back into society for a falsely accused man, I mean, even if he somehow overturns his conviction, I mean, there's no tax incentives for employers to hire him, you know, unlike an ex-convict. There's no outreach services, nothing. Just the clothes on his back. Yeah, and even if there is no conviction, a false allegation of rape can devastate a man. I mean, even before he enters a courtroom, and even if he doesn't, his life will be destroyed through the court of public opinion. And a false allegation of child abuse, I mean, it's the most effective way to win custody over children. And if the accused has no savings and he can't contest, in reality, even if he does, in most cases, he will lose. And going by the statistics and the studies, I mean, false rape claims, they're extremely common. But there are very rarely any serious consequences for making them. And with the definitions of abuse and rape constantly broadening, solely in regards to males, men and boys are literally walking in a minefield. And the abuse a man suffers at the hands of the system, the accusations, the prison environment, the public humiliation, the theft of what he's worked for and sacrificed for his whole life, the trauma, the betrayal. I mean, the only avenue open to him to deal with and process this is isolation and repression. Your freedom is measured by the number of things you can walk away from. Which is the biggest sacrifice? You choose.